So thanks for agreeing to talk to us about ACES. I guess I'm really interested in what's happening between the Bayer grabbed image and when we start moving into what I'm going to call an OpenEXR scene linear space, though I think you prefer to call it something other than linear space.
Well, linear is used by so many people. The video post-production community calls what they work on, which has a video gamut imposed on it, linear.
Right.
So people say, oh, it's linear, and it's like, well, what does that mean? So I understand people that come from more the visual effects CGI background, when they say linear, they mean what we would call radiometrically linear, photon counting linear, gamma 1.0 linear. But I understand that's what you mean, because, yeah, that's what OpenEXR is. The other thing that seems to be a bit of a confusion is there is OpenEXR, which is a file format, and then there is this Academy proposal, IIF, Image Interchange Format, or ACES. ACES is the actual file format it uses is OpenEXR, but it imposes a very, very stringent definition of a working color space. OpenEXR does not.
Absolutely. So, OpenEXR is a container.
That's correct. So therefore, well, you know, for the Academy stuff, it's not just turning it into OpenEXR. It's turning it into, linear OpenEXR. It's turning it into linear OpenEXR in a specifically well-defined color space.
Well, I think that's the really key point, isn't it? Because when we come out of the chip, we have a Bayer pattern. We need to turn that into something. Obviously, we need to interpret that Bayer pattern to get towards moving to what we'd be consider an image we can look at. So let's say we convert it by de-Bayering it into a triplicate. Mm-hmm. I need to get that then into a color space to proceed to go on to what I'm calling the OpenEXR scene linear. Mm-hmm. And at this point, your ACES offers us a color space with a wide gamut that is theoretically sort of manufacturer neutral, in the sense that we could, in a perfect world, end up with some consistency on our color space if that was adopted.
That is the goal. It's not only extremely wide, it's ridiculously extremely wide. It's a color space that encompasses the entire visible spectrum and more. The reasons for that are sort of amusing and mathematical. Since it's a linearly additive color space, therefore it can be represented by a triangle, and the only way to enclose the entire visible spectrum, which is represented by the CIE curve in a triangle, well, you have to make a bigger triangle. Therefore, there are areas inside that triangle which lie, by definition, outside the visible spectrum. But forgetting about that, yes, the idea was once things are converted into ACES, they are a representation of what was what we call relative scene exposure, what was back there on the scene. So we actually try to undo some of the things that the camera is doing, so you are now working back in scene space,
because
or input referred space, in which case you should be able to mix and match and intercut and composite things from various different acquisition devices fairly seamlessly.
Because without it, what we have is the situation that camera manufacturer A does their debayering, then they pick a color space, and their red, the color red, I mean,
yes,
now, moving into my workflow that was filmed the same red object that another camera did, maybe a different red. Now, there are two reasons for that. One, obviously, the actual sensors themselves, the dyes, the manufacturing process, are going to have a different interpretation of the world. Yep. But the second one is that they are going to a different color space than each other. And so you've got some maths that's causing them not to be the same, as well as the physicality of the sensors.
Right. And this procedure of going into transforming into ACES color space should alleviate as much as possible the discrepancies between various acquisition devices. There will always be certain colors, certain areas of the gamut that some cameras, let's say, can't differentiate between two different colors and another camera can differentiate, in which case the results when we go on ACES are going to be different between those two cameras. But hopefully, you know, these are unsolvable problems until we actually have a device that can record things spectrally and not just in a tri-stimulus system, a red, green, blue system.
But inherently, the equipment manufacturers, and I'm not slighting anyone, but I mean, the three or four big major camera companies want product differentiation, because they basically want to have you know, a cleaner, noisy-less system that is.
And we, you know, as you know, the Academy is imposing no restrictions on how the debarring's done. We're obviously better algorithms are being developed. We want to encourage those. If we look back to the glory days of film, cameras differentiated themselves on a number of reasons. Yet, if you notice, the film product that came out was shared between them.
Though, and in that particular case, though, the camera manufacturer was normally different than the film manufacturer.
The film manufacturer
provided a lot of consistency.
So, in this case, the idea is that the ACES color spaces of such a wide gamut and such a high latitude that if camera A has a wider gamut, can capture and differentiate a wider gamut than camera B, that will be represented when they're converted to ACES. There's nothing there that says, oh, camera A's gamut is too wide, we have to clip it so it matches camera B. Or camera A has too much latitude, it has better shadow detail, we got to get rid of that. So all of the advantages that would differentiate camera A from camera B that really differentiate them physically will be maintained. Now, that may sound, you know, like, well, there goes your intercutability out the window, but we want to allow everything that the camera can capture to be maintained in our space, obviously. So we do that. The idea being that when it's converted into ACES space, nothing that the camera physically captured is lost or contaminated in any way.
So it's been said that the ACES space is inherently can be thought of as being a bit like a sort of stock neutral negative. But this implies, I think, a film bias that I'm not hearing.
Well, I mean, it's being called that more as a box in an existing workflow, not in any sort of way that, even today for most digital intermediate work, every facility will take stuff that's shot on different cameras and do their best to turn each of those into their canonical working space, the space that they want to work in, so that and the stuff mixes and matches there. One of the problems is every facility or every visual effects house has their own idea of what that canonical working space is. With the film workflow, that problem was sort of magically solved because the canonical working space came along for the ride. It was inherent in the physics and the chemistry of what was done. So all we're trying to do is say there are advantages to having a universal canonical working space that is non-destructive in any way on what the cameras can capture. I mean, that's sort of it. If we get all the ideally all the cameras would eventually put stuff, what their camera can do in ACES space. It would output that directly. You would still have the differentiation between the cameras.
So just in finishing up, it feels like the Academy's been working on this for a few years, and we've known you've been publishing and there's been access to material online, but it does seem to be like it's coming more prominently to the forefront at the moment. Where are we in the sort of scope of the project, you think?
I think if you talk to different people, you'll get different answers. The idea now is, okay, it's been in the ivory tower for long enough, although many, many of the people involved in this are involved in day out production. So they're very aware of not developing something off, you know, in theory land that'll never be implemented. So we're at the point now that we have straw men proposals for virtually every step of the chain. We think they're good. We think the ACES space is a good space to work in. We have a candidate for the RRT, the Reference Rendering Transform, which is the output, what ACES should be viewed through. We have mechanisms for camera manufacturers to make the IDTs, the input device transforms for their specific cameras to get into ACES. Now's the time to put it out there, put some real production through it, see what breaks, actually test, are our assumptions correct before we, you know, put the final stamp on it and have it symptomized, and then it's too late to change the thing. Oh, gee, we really should have put the red primary over here because it would have made all the difference in the world. So different studios and post-production facilities are beginning to put test pieces through it. And that's where it is. And the result is over the next few months, we hope to get a lot of feedback about this worked, this didn't work, and also to put some pressure on the vendors, manufacturers of equipment, color correctors, restoration processes, editorial and conform systems, so that they become ASUS compliant or at least ASUS friendly, and so therefore more and more facilities will be able to adopt the workflow. Right now, a lot of there'll be a lot of onus on individual facilities to sort of do some heavy lifting internally to figure out how to
do it. Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us.
Sure. No problem. My pleasure.